can definitely see it when you guys smile and when you enjoy it together. Amen. I just want to do something quickly. Cool. It's good to see you guys, and so lucky to be able to just stand before you and to share what's on the Lord's heart for us as a family. And before I do want to just point out a very special couple that are here with us, that is visiting from Cape Town, Gerald and Tracy. There's no such a thing officially in the Bible, but they're what we call super deacons. They actually serve full time as deacons in the life of Josh Jen. How's that? We know elders serve, but they're a deacon couple that are paid by the church to serve as a deacon. So it is possible. And Gerald and Trace actually help run our facility in Provence. Some of you may have heard of it, maybe you've been there. But they have the pleasure. It is a pleasure because it's a beautiful spot. I know they wake up every morning going, "Thank you, Jesus, we're in paradise." But Provence is a beautiful. It's one of our properties where the Wellington congregation meet and where we have our TMT Bible School. I've heard some guys are going to be going there in this near future kind of thing. And so Gerald has also served us amazingly on since he's been on staff, which has been probably 3 or 4 years now. No, longer, a bit longer, 3 years. Every time we've had an elders camp, he's a chef by trade. He cooks up a storm with his crew. He serves us as elders. Honestly, I've never seen someone serve the eldership like this couple have. And so I do want to honor you, and it's such a joy to see you guys. And I know he's shaking his head, and they don't like to be made a fuss of, but it's worthy. You guys are an amazing couple, and it's been so lekker. A quick fond memory, my 40th birthday, I came to Gerald and said, "Gerald, I need help. I've organized these steaks, but man, I need some help." And he's got this gas bra kind of thing, and it was going to be the easiest thing to serve about 50 people or so. So I organized from a mate of mine these steaks, and guys brought salads. And Gerald literally slaved away the whole night brying steaks at my 40th. Best birthday party ever, kind of thing. It was the most cooks. I think that time a couple of years ago, at my house was comparable. But that was next level cook sister. Sure, people know. Eh? Why aren't you invited? You were there. Not my 40th. You were the one. Wait for my 50th. Yes. Come on. Just that's scary. Wait for my 50th, please. No. Yes, I'm already nearly 50. That's scary. I'm 47 this year. Jesus, help me. But you know what? We were on Thursday night at the worship time, and really we had an incredible time. And I just suddenly had a moment. I looked around the room, and the guys were standing there, and some of us were just worshiping. And I looked at these guys and said, "Come on, guys. I'm double some of your age, and I've got more energy to worship God." And I tell you, we just suddenly is that realization that we've been called to worship extravagantly, not with our 2 feet flat in the ground, not with our voices half muffled, but to give everything we are to Him for His glory. That's why we were created, man. I mean, come on. Such an opportunity to worship Him, and I love it. I love it. I love it. But this evening I want to talk about something that God has been just processing me through over the last while, just because I think I've been dealing with a few things, not in my own life, just with some people walking a road with some guys, and just not even only in this congregation, but in one of the other congregations, just realizing that God is wanting us to grow up. He's wanting us to grow up. And I know that's what, grow up? And I honestly believe God's calling us to maturity. As believers, the days of us being stuck on the same old, and the nini is coming to an end. Come on, really, I want, and I've just been just been so challenged that there are so many Christians who think they're mature. And when you ask that, who thinks they're mature? And guys will say, oh, I think I'm pretty mature. But actually, there's a lot of immaturity in our midst. And God wants us to root it out. And so I just, suddenly the voice of God spoke loud. That's cool. But I really just felt that we're moving into a time and into a season where God wants us to grow up and to stop drinking the milk. It's not, humans weren't designed to drink milk beyond a certain age. Do you know that? I'm sure most of you know that's, it's only humans that drink milk as adults. And I love my milk. I love my farm fresh milk with that thick layer of cream on top. Come on, nothing better. But it's interesting that humans shouldn't be drinking milk. And it's funny how in the spiritual as well, that some of us are still stuck on the milk and still behaving like babies. I'm using strong language because I want it to hit home. Like really, I think there's a measure of immaturity in some of us. And actually, Scripture says that if we're like those children, we actually got a lot of the world still in us. I mean, it uses some heavy language, and I'll show it to you now. Let me read that, because this was the Scripture that just sort of nailed me when I was reading the Word. It's in 1 Corinthians 3, if you can find it there, ladies. I know there's a bit of issues with that computer, so bear with us. We got it. There we go. Hey. Which one? That one. There we go. But he says, and the ESV says this. It says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. Other translations say, as worldly, as infants in Christ. It's funny how he likens infants as Christ to those who are worldly, infants in Christ. People of the flesh, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh, or you are still worldly. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, he goes on to name what's happening in this fellowship. There's jealousy and there's strife amongst you. This is how worldly people behave, and this is you, Christians, believers. Come on. Come on. And are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? So it's kind of a strong kind of reprimand from Paul to this church where he's going, come on, you guys, grow up. You're behaving like the world. And I believe Jesus is wanting to root that out of the church. He wants to root out the behavior that is symptomatic of infants. Well, it's characteristic of infants and symptomatic of the world. The pathway to maturity is not first becoming an intelligent person, but becoming an obedient person. And I think for so long, and if we look according to the world standards and according to what maturity is always looked at according to something of intelligence, knowledge, this wealth of understanding. And in God's currency, it's got nothing to do with how much you know, but it's what you do with what you know. Are we a people of obedience or a people of knowledge? And I want to be known as someone who's obedient. I think it's what we do with these things. It's what we do with alcohol, sex, money, leisure, food, computers, and the way we treat one another. That has more to do with our capacity for solid food than where you go to school, what books you read. So I thought this evening I'm going to try and make it very practical for us. And I want us maybe, because I think some of us are sitting here and going, well, I think I'm pretty mature. I think I've got it. And I think I'd like to just maybe highlight a couple of things that might just realize that there may be areas in our lives where we need to grow up. And why do we need to grow up? Because Jesus wants, he wants a pure and spotless bride, yes, but he wants us to be reflecting something to a lost and dying world. He wants us to be reflecting his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his goodness to the world. And it comes through a unified church. And unity comes when there's maturity. True unity comes when there's maturity. And it's the one thing Jesus prayed for before he died. And he said, Father, let them be one as we are one. He wants the church unified. And here we see in Corinthians, there's jealousy and there's squabbling amongst these believers. And he says, come on. You're behaving like the world. You bunch of children, grow up. And so it's strong language, but my heart is not to be, not to speak down, not to be condescending, not to be one who just makes you feel bad or feel. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit would speak into your hearts, because it is the work of the Spirit to convict. It's not Chad's job to convict you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to convict you. And so some of us might be sitting here going, "No, I'm like, you know what? I think." But we've got to have humble hearts. We've got to have open hearts to receive, to go, okay, well, let me look at this. I always do that. When someone brings a corrective word into my life, I stop, I listen, and I receive, and then I process, and then I go, I hear you there. I don't think you're right there. I might go to someone else and ask them to also just be a bit of a plumb line, but I've got to be receiving. I can't just... I don't like what I'm hearing, so I shut off and I'm offended now because you've said the wrong word. No. So let's have a look quickly what it means to be immature. Well, I think there's a number of points and I'm going to go through a few of them. And I think the first one for me that is very obviously as a believer, we come into this place of relationship with Jesus. And if I look around the room and I think I know pretty much most of you, I think we've all come to a place of repenting of our sin, coming before the Father, accepting His forgiveness, and we're in this relationship with God. The first thing, and so I might be saying stuff that we're all, hey, we're cool, we're sorted, but these are also, remember, I'm equipping you for when you're faced with these things. So I'm giving you tools, all right? So you might be sitting talking to someone, and suddenly you're scratching your head and going, man, this oak, he's talking, but he is so immature. And I'm not saying you be judgmental or critical, please. I'm just in your heart, you can discern how that you can then lead that person, because we're coming into this contact, our spheres of people, and I'm coming to you guys a lot, and all I'm hearing is, na, 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 but I'm looking at their lives, and I'm going, oh, really? Seriously, this is just knowledge, and this is just da-da-da, but where's the heart towards the Father? Is there humility towards the Father? So first thing, guys, not being part of a community, a very prominent sign for me of people that are immature is people that are not part of community. And not only community on a Wednesday night, but community of faith. I mean, being part of a church is an important part of our walk with God. And so we're meeting people daily who say, I love Jesus, and I've got all the... And I'm meeting guys that are knowledgeable, but they're not part of church. No, 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 I don't need the church. Like, you seriously? We need the church. We need each other. We need one another. We need to be walking in relationship with one another. In Genesis, we see that God, when He created man, it wasn't good that man was alone. It wasn't good that man was alone. And it's not good that we're alone. We cannot do this on our own. We can get, and I'm speaking from experience, you guys. I shared my testimony 2 weeks ago, but I know we cannot do this alone. And please, if you don't tell me you can. You can't. You can't. We need each other. We need one another. We need relationship. We need accountability. We need transparency. We need to be able to speak into each other's lives and be real enough to go, hey, Nardis, your zip's down. Just say, not now. What? No, come on. I mean, how embarrassing. Like, I mean, he, as a friend, I have this responsibility to him to say, bud, your zip's down, your fly's down. You need, and like, I mean, it's happened. I mean, come on. Like, we all know that one. Or there's a booger up your nose. Like, you know, you went to the bathroom and you blew your nose and there was something stuck there on your moustache. And everyone's like too embarrassed to say something to you kind of thing. No, he's my mate. I want to, like, I've got his back. Hey, bud, like, just give your nose a wipe there kind of thing. But how does that happen? It happens when we're in community and when we're in relationship with one another. There's a bridge, a friendship, of trust that we hang out. And so when people come and say, I don't need it, I'm going, you don't have a cooking clue. You do need it. We need each other. It's a sign of immaturity to say, I don't need the body. I don't need to be part of the body. For those of us who are walking with God and in relationship, We're immature when we are not. Sorry, I've just lost my train of thought there. We are not practicing. I saw my notes. I couldn't find the sentence I wanted to use. We're not practicing spiritual discipline. We're immature when we're not faithfully practicing the spiritual disciplines. And what are the disciplines? Anyone that wasn't here this morning? Anyone? What are the disciplines? Spiritual disciplines. Sorry? Prayer. Prayer. Worship. Reading the Word. When we're not disciplined in reading the Word, spending time in prayer and worship, meditating on the Lord, there's an immaturity there. We need to be disciplined in those things. And I know for some of us it's hard to read the Bible. I struggled for many years to read the Bible. And I often used to go, man, I don't get anything out of this. It's just words. It's like, it's gobbledygook. It's like poems upon poems. And I'm not a poet. I'm a scientist by nature. So give me Genesis and I can understand it. But don't give me Ezekiel and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. You know, like I can understand. Give me the storyline. You know, I'm kind of, but don't give me all this cryptic stuff kind of thing. And so we get a bit disheartened and discouraged and go, I'm not going to read the Bible then. But you know what? This book is life-giving food to our soul. It is life-giving. And I tell you, you know why? And I'll never forget being told something by a good friend many years ago. And she said, Chad, you know, the thing with the Bible is, she said, it's like you sit down to a meal, the steak, nice stack of rump steak, and you enjoy this meal. And in the moment, you eat it and there's chips maybe and some veggies on the side. Yes, we do eat veggies. Chicken. No. And she says, in the moment, you enjoy that meal. And it, hey, your veg curry. Trevor's got a good veg curry going. Like just eating it and it nourishes in you. Oh, the taste is great. It's wonderful. And then you walk away and about an hour later, unless it's Trev's curry, you burp and you taste it again. No, but you don't remember the experience. But something has happened by taking of that food. Your body has grown. Your body has grown. It's taken the proteins, taken the carbohydrates. It's taken on those things. Hey, and Jenna will know better than me because she's a dietitian. She'll know the ingredients for you to eat and to grow so that your body grows. But I don't remember the experience. And I think sometimes the Bible's a little bit like that. I read it because I know it's good for me. And when I do read it, sometimes it's like that steak, but sometimes it's just like those Brussels sprouts. Here we go. It's like those lentils that we don't all like. It's like the asparagus, but it's good for our body. Because our body grows. Come on, there is. There's lots of nothing good about asparagus. Ignore her. It's nourishment for our body. It's a spiritual discipline. Guys, immature if you're not stuck into this word. You're an immature believer. Prayer, worship. Fasting's a hard one, but there's different levels of maturity. But I would say that when we call for a fast as a church and you decide, no, I don't need to, I can, and you go, no, I don't like fasting, that's immature. That actually speaks to even something deeper of a lack of submission to your leadership. And for someone who can't submit to their leadership, again, immature. You're asked to do something you don't want to do. Okay, let's not go, that's opening a huge thing kind of thing. Next week. Well, I'm gonna say it here because it is the next thing. Another sign of spiritual immaturity is you're sensitive to correction. And let's look at marriage because that's always, if your husband or your wife, and normally it's the wife correcting the husband, but if you get all offended at your wife or your spouse because they've corrected you in an area, it just shows your immaturity. You should be able to receive correction in love and in grace that it was given. Because the only reason we correct one another in that context is because we love each other passionately and we want the best for one another. That's why we correct. Why do we correct our children? Not because I feel like it as a dad and because it's my job. No, I correct my children. I bring correction to them because I want to see them walking of a path of of good, bountiful, amazing things. I don't want to see them going off the path. So I'm going to bring correction. And if you're going to get offended when correction is brought, or when direction is brought, it shows that there's an area of immaturity in your heart. Or what about when there's change in the church context? And I mean, I will, like, there's been a lot of change in the last while, and it just rubs you up the wrong way, and you get all offended by the leadership, or I don't like this and that because that's happened. It's immature, because come on, we're a family. You should be trusting that your leaders are doing their best to lead and to do what God has asked of them, and to grow a congregation and bring a congregation and to bring you into health. What about being easily angered? Some of us struggle with anger. Some of us struggle with addiction. Some of us struggle with these very simple things. It's a sign of immaturity. Here's one. What about not using your spirit? Well, sorry, not, I'm going to use this one first. Not bearing fruit of the Spirit. Now, I love that one because I love my gardening, and I know there's a bunch of gardeners here and guys who enjoy. And the thing about an immature tree, and I've planted a fig tree about 3 years ago in my garden, and the first year it grew to about this high, and it produced one fig. I was like, okay, we're going to get there. And then the second year just grew a bit more, and it produced five figs. And they were quite tasty, but I was like, great, okay. But they were small still, and I was like, great, okay, next year. So I pruned the tree a little bit and just trained it how I wanted to go. This year, man, it was full of figs, but those figs were terrible. Don't know what I was like, man, something's wrong. And I realized this tree, as much as it's bearing, it's not actually mature yet. It's still an immature tree. Firstly, it wasn't bearing any fruit. Now it's bearing fruit that aren't really tasty. And so if we look at our lives and we examine our hearts, are we bearing fruit? And who knows what are the fruit of the Spirit? Come on, let's hear. Let's hear some peace, patience, joy, self-control, long-suffering. It's too much noise here. Self-control. Let's use that one. One of them, self-control. Are we a people that are self-controlled? Self-control in our tongue. Are we slow to when something vomiting it out because someone has done something? Are we quick to swear at the taxi driver because he's cut us off? Are we, and I have a confession to make that was an area in my life that I struggled in with self-control. I remember Nikki saying it to me once. She said, babes, your problem is that you're not walking in step with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not evident in your life. Self-control. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, and I adjusted in that moment. I was like, oh my goodness, I need to adjust. We're immature. Like my fig tree, it's immature. It's not bearing the fruit. And in same in our lives, we're not bearing fruit when we're immature. What about your gifts? Now, gifts are different from fruits, okay? And the amazing thing about a fruit is when you, a tree with fruit, and that is when you fertilize and when you do what you need to do, fruit grows. It just, you don't have to do anything for fruit to happen, but it actually grows. But you've got to fertilize it, you've got to water it, you've got to look after the tree, you've got to nurture it. But a gift, not everyone has the same gifts. And can you think of some of the gifts of the Spirit? Admin. Oh, come on, give. Prophecy, teaching, healing, serving, discernment. Hey? Worship's not really a gift. Hey? Apostle. Okay, those are the fivefold gifts. Apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists. Those are the five. But okay, but anyway, how's this? Hey? Healing, wisdom, discernment, faith. Faith, here we go. Thank you. Oh, I like that one. So I would suggest that if you are an immature believer, you are not using your spiritual gift. You're holding on to it. And God has given you something. He's given you a gift of discernment. He's given you a gift of prophecy. And you come into the body like this, and you selfishly hold on to that thing. And maybe it's rooted because you have a fear of man. And that in itself is another sign of immaturity, because you're more worried about what people will think of you. And what's the root of that? That's actually pride. Fear of man, pride. I'm more worried about what people are going to think of me, so I'd rather not say anything, because they might just think I'm weird. Me. They might think I've got a funny voice, or they might think I'm Mr. I mean, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. So are you holding on to these things that Jesus has given you? And actually, it's because there's a measure of immaturity. Here's one. You're easily influenced. Easily influenced. Hey, did you hear this theory about Bill Gates and this and that? And did you read that blog about the virus? It's all of this. And so you toss, the Bible talks about infants being tossed about from one doctrine to the next. Oh, we heard this. Oh, we heard this. Oh, my life. I mean, we sat with someone the other day, and we just had to say, whoa, stop what you're listening to. Because it's all conspiracies. It's all junk. Can we give you some facts? Can we give you some truth? Because your life is a wreck right now because you've been tossed and swayed by all these winds of doctrine. This, that, and the next thing, and da-da-da-da. And it's like, oh, like, you're so confused. It's a sign of immaturity. Guys, we need to grow up. And for me, like getting back to that scripture is that thing of opinionated. I'm opinionated, like just having this arrogance and this opinion. I've got my opinion and you're wrong. You're wrong and I'm right. Like being opinionated, man, it's immaturity. Like we can never be of such a place that we're right and you're wrong. We need to be open to correction. We need to be open that this is my perspective. This is how I have understood it. I may be wrong. I need to learn. I need to be open. And maybe the information you're getting is from the wrong sources, and that's what you're basing your opinion on. Is it a balanced perspective? And who are your sources of information? Is it Facebook? Is it the media? Honestly, if it's the media, it's the wrong source of information. If you watching, really, you cannot trust the media anymore. It's fact. That is fact upon fact. Don't, you can quote me. We can no longer believe what the news says. I'm sorry. So we draw our opinion and we take a stand because I read it in the Daily Dispatch, or I read it on the Sunday Times, they said it, or I read it on News 24. It's, you can't. This is the only truth to stand on. This is the only truth that is dependable and is not corrupt and is not going to deceive us. The Word of God. Anything you've heard, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with what He is saying? If it doesn't, throw it out. But really, do not base your opinions on what's happening out in the world and what's out in the news. You're right. Okay. Cool. Sorry. So these are signs of immaturity. And I know that all of us, to some measure, have exhibited this. I do. I'm not alone here. I'm not perfect. I've messed up, and I mess up. But you know what the difference is I come out of that place, and this is the starting block for me, for us to move into maturity, is to humble ourselves. It's got to start with humility. That is the key ingredient. Faith in God, definitely. I mean, our faith and our trust in Him and what He has done in the redemptive work of the cross. But man, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to realize that without Him and without His help, without one another, man, we're lost. We're doomed. Self-consumed. We need one another. We need Him. And we need to be discipled. We need to be discipled. You know, the Great Commission was go out and make disciples of all nations. That's what Jesus said to His disciples. He sent them out. He said, go and make mini-me's, basically. Go and make disciples. Go and replicate yourselves. Go and replicate yourselves. Go and make disciples. People that will love me. People that will lay down their lives for me. People that will grow up into a maturity like you have. And so we need to be discipled. And if you're walking the journey alone, you might go round and round the mountain quite a few times. You know, have you heard that expression before? It's like you don't learn the lesson. It's like you go round and round and you hit your head. You keep on bumping your head. It's like, dunk. Why is this thing dunk in the way? Dunk. And sometimes having someone in your life who's walking a road and a journey and just saying, hey, you know, speaking to my life, the areas that you see that I need to adjust in, it's helpful. Because we sometimes have what they call blind spots. We can't always see things. And it's like we keep on hitting that thing. And someone just says, hey, just take a left-hand step. And you're, oh, sure. Wish I'd seen that before. And we need each other. Guys, we need to allow ourselves to be discipled. We got to want that. We've got to hunger for that. I mean, yes, we can start being disciplined. We can definitely, and you know, people often say, oh, but I don't feel like being disciplined. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like it. It's not about feelings. If we were ruled by feelings, we'd really be a bunch of nobodies. We can't always be ruled by feelings. Feelings need to follow the obedient heart. You know, we say, you know, we often heard it said, I've fallen out of love. And it's all about the feelings. No, man, we choose to love. We choose to forgive. We choose to obey. I don't feel like obeying. No, well, we choose to do what's right. I don't feel like it. Man, the Bible says the heart is wicked. It's wicked. It's deceptive and it's wicked. But we need to make decisions and choices. I mean, a friend of mine always says, make good choices. He always, like, it's this like little line of his whenever we say goodbye. He says, make good choices. Make good choices. Don't do drugs. It's a little line, but there's truth behind it. It's like it's a decision. It's a choice that I need to make to align myself firstly with the Word of God instead of aligning myself with the stupid not align myself with the false information that's out there. But I've got to align myself with the truth. I've got to surrender my heart to Jesus. And I've got to surrender to Him. Church, He's asking us to come into a place of maturity. He's coming, asking us to grow up. He's asking us to take hold of these things and to be a people who are set apart, not looking like the world. And that's getting back to that scripture in Corinthians, where here you had a church that really weren't distinguishable from the world. They were behaving just like the world. And he said, you're like children. You're like infants. You need to grow up. Our children, I mean, we've got some beautiful children amongst us, and it's so awesome watching the parents. And, you know, children need a firm hand. Children need encouragement. They need to be directed into the right path. Sometimes they don't like it. They don't want to do it. But as parents, we do know what's best for our children. And sometimes your teenagers are going, my parents don't know nothing. They don't know what's best for me. We were teenagers once as well, just by the way. Okay. Surprise, surprise. So to you youngsters, when your parents come and they bring the correction and they bring the love and they bring the firmness of God, the girl, this is the way you need to go. Respond. Respond to them. It'll do you good. And why do I preach like something like this? Because I honestly believe God is calling us to a place of people for deeper unity with one another. He's calling us to a place of deeper unity because we're in a world that I believe is desperately seeking unity, something that is unified. I mean, we look at like a government, one hand doing here, one hand doing like, they're just so divided that one hand doesn't know what the next hand is doing. Our municipalities, like there's just so much confusion. It's like, where's the unity? One person says that, another person says that. You go and you do an application for something and one person's giving you this process and you follow that process, you go to the next department, they say, like there's no unity. And I think the world is desperate to see unity. They're desperate to see people of one heart, one mind, one purpose. And that's you and me as believers, people who are called to a place to, I believe that when we're walking in that, that is the witness and that is the testimony of the gospel.
And why, how do you guys get it right? Well, because Jesus. Now, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the one I serve, the one who died for me. And like, it's not a cop-out. It's just, man, I love Jesus, and I've surrendered my heart to him. I've given him my life. So I really want us just to respond to that, because I believe God is taking us and he's growing us. I mean, he's growing us numerically over the last while, and it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's incredible to see the people that he's added to us. But he's also wanting not only us to grow in length and width, but wanting us to grow in depth. And in order for us to become an effective people for the kingdom of God, he wants us to grow up in him. Not be squabbling and not be bickering and not be gossiping and not be this and not be that and not be, oh, why are they leaders and I'm not? And why do they get recognition and I don't? Why do they on the stage and I don't? Or like, come on, like why do we do it that way and not this way? It's like, seriously, put aside your petty differences. Just follow Jesus. Just give you all to him and stop getting caught up in the things of the world, basically, as Paul was saying to the church. Let's close our eyes. And I just want to lead us in a prayer. And maybe, just even as I've shared, man, like, yes, I know this has touched hearts, because as I've been sharing this, it's like even touched things in my heart. And I really believe God wants us to respond to him tonight. And I don't want to just, and again, this is always my prayer every time I preach, because I'm so aware that, you know, I think because I've been there, it's like we come and we sit in a service and it's, oh, okay, next, carry on with our lives kind of thing. Like, it's in one ear and out the next kind of thing. And we've got home and it's like, what was the preach about? And we've forgotten. I've been there. I've been that guy. So that's why I speak from experience. So I've come to a place now when every time I preach, or Benny preaches, or one of the guys preach, I'm saying, God, would we not be like the man who looks at his reflection in the mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like? But that we would be doers of the word as well as hearers of the word. That we would be able to take this and apply it to our lives. It's practical, guys. There's some very real points that I gave here. Like, we can take a moment to look and say, do I flare up when I get confronted with something, or do I get easily offended? I'm immature. And then we go to God and we say, Lord, and this is what we do. We say, Father, I realize that there's an area in my life that lacks maturity, where I'm immature. Lord, I want to grow up. I want to get off the milk and I want to be eating the steak. Would you, by your Spirit, come and show me the area in my life, and would you come and help me to grow up in this area? Lord, I need to be accountable to someone. I need to open up, be transparent and be real, and sit down and have a coffee with one of the guys and bare my heart to them. Lord, I pray that you'd bring the right person, that you would just highlight right now, even as I'm sitting here, just the right person that I can journey with. Lord, I need to be discipled. Because I've tried to do it by myself, and it's just made my brain more mush than ever before. Lord, would you, by your Spirit, come and do a work in my life? Lord, I repent where I've just maybe been lazy in my discipline, in my prayer life, in reading the Word. Lord, I repent where I've maybe held on to the gift that you've deposited into my life, and I've held on to it, and I've kept it for myself. Lord, I'm sorry. Sorry where I haven't loved my brother as you have commanded me to love my brother. And I ask you by your Spirit to do work in my life. Lord Jesus, I want to love. Give me a love for the unlovable. Give me a love for my neighbor. Give me a love for my brother. Help me to be obedient, Jesus. I want to be obedient. I want to respond well to your word. I don't want to be the person who always has an issue. I want to be someone who responds well to your word, Lord. I want to be used by you, Jesus. And I know that in order for you to use me, and please, just a sideline here, God will use you even in your immaturity. I want to say that now. He's not waiting for you to be perfect in order to use you. He will use you. But it's got to start with you surrendering and obeying His word. As I said in the beginning, starts with obedience. Lord, we no longer, I don't want to be like a child tossed backwards and forwards. Like one, you know, up and down emotionally. One day I'm king of the mountain, the next day I'm in the dungeons kind of thing. Lord, I want to grow up. I want to be mature Jesus. So Lord, I pray that even as we just sitting here, and I know this is something that you might need to just go home and really do some thinking about. And just spend the week in prayer and saying, God, like, show me. And maybe it might be helpful. Make a list, just your own little list in your diary. Say, yeah, this area, man, I struggle with that. Bring it to the Lord in prayer. Say, Jesus, I struggle with that. I struggle with, you know, I get asked to do things and I just can never remember. Or like I always, you know, forget. I can't be on time for meetings. I'm not a man of my word. I'm not a woman of my word. Little areas. I lack faithfulness. Lord, I want to grow up. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for these people. I thank you for every heart here this evening. And Jesus, I pray that as we go from this place, as we go into the world, as we faced with challenges and even these things, and the buttons are pushed and we have a choice to respond in a way that doesn't glorify you or does glorify you. Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, bring into remembrance things I have shared tonight into our hearts. And Lord, we would hear the testimony of guys coming and saying, man, I've been struggling with this area for so long in my life. Man, God has done a work. He has changed me. I used to be this angry, irritable person. I used to lose my temper with the dog all the time. Whatever it might be, but God, you have changed me. It's even maybe you as a father sitting here and you get easily frustrated with your children. And that's a confession of mine. There was a time in my, I have to watch that thing because I can get frustrated with my kids sometimes and then I get snappy and barky and I speak to them in a way that isn't honoring and pleasing to God and to them. And then my wife, the Holy Spirit uses my wife to come to me and says, babes, that wasn't really a nice response. And so I go to them and I'm, Noah, Becky, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I was frustrated, I was tired, it's been a long day, whatever. And actually, there's no excuse. I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. Lord, thank you that you're growing us up. And I pray that as we go tonight into homes, into our workplaces, into schools this week, that Jesus, we would be, as we confronted with these things, we would make the right choices. Come Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Guys, take it, let it grip your hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to grow us up. It's time to advance His kingdom forcefully. Men and women of purpose and are passionate for Him. Amen. 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 Bless you guys. Have a fantastic week. And we're excited to see what God's going to do. All right. If you want to chat, if you want prayer even, I'm like, I don't know why, just like if you're really wanting prayer and going, man, I'm struggling in this. Like I'm gonna hang around. Let's pray for you. Let's like say, Chad, I'm really just struggling in an area, and I don't know why. Like that, just I don't want us to rush this moment, kind of thing, because I think God wants to touch things, and sometimes it just needs a few friends around you praying for you and going, hey, you know what? We're in this together. We're in this together. You're not alone. Okay. Over and out.